Hello. Hello. Hi. This is Vic Berger talking. And if you're hearing me right now, there's a major problem. It's a big, big problem. Because that means you are not part of the Office Hours Live Patreon community membership patron page. And that's a problem for you. Because you're missing out on so much exclusive content. The latest addition to the Office Hours Patreon membership is a deep dive into the life and career of Mr. Billy Joel, otherwise known as William Martin Joel. I bet you didn't know that. We go deep into the Joel hole. We go way down, we find out what makes him tick, what makes people hate him so much, what makes so many people love him so much, and we just find out why is he not getting the respect that he may deserve. With that, I will hopefully see you on the Patreon membership page very soon. Goodbye!
We are here in Glendale. It is July 22nd here, and it is hot as hell. Hot summer. I'm distracted, very distracted today. First of all, we've got a great show. We've got Steve Conrad, the guy created one of my favorite shows ever made called Patriot. This is no Tom Clancy Patriot Games. This is just Patriot. If you haven't seen it, it's on Amazon, Jeff Bezos' Amazon. Guy went into space. Or did he? We should talk about that, Vic. Did he go into space? I like to think he didn't. I think we should start. I'd like to see the corporate media start talking about how the guy didn't go into space. What is space? Let's get a definition. Let's look it up. Let's
find out. He didn't leave the atmosphere, the Earth's atmosphere.
He did not leave the Earth's atmosphere.
It's not space's atmosphere.
So if that's space, then I'm in space.
Chaka 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 gone.
Dougie's here. Little Doug. Big Doug.
I'm Big Doug.
Vic Berger's here. Got some fucking Kodak endorsement apparently. What are we doing? Are you taking that money off just on the side?
This is for rent. Anybody, I don't care what
product
peace.
It is. This is my show. And you're going to start advertising, what was it last week, Michelin?
It was Michelin tires.
Fucking Michelin, now it's Kodak.
Uh-huh.
Is Kodak even a business anymore?
They're still around, yeah.
Then we have a special guest in the guest couch, the casting couch. We have... We have one of the greats. Lizzie Cooperman here, ladies and gentlemen. One of my faves.
Bright lights and promises.
She's on keyboards. They're going to get a lot of complaints about what is going on back there.
How's this? Is it? Are the drops too loud? I can't.
Mine sounds low.
Oh, God.
1, 2, 3.
Holy moly.
We should do a drop mix one of these shows where it's like the drops are way louder.
Oh, really? Wouldn't that be what we call any given show? God bless him. The attitude. I'd like to do an introduction for Lizzie Cooperman if I could have that opportunity, guys. If that's something that can be afforded to me. Or is your soundboard too precious that you can't? Right. Stop touching it for a second.
That's okay. A good question.
I guess not. Okay, we'll move on. Lizzie, I apologize. We'll have you on again. We'll have you on again sometime
soon.
No, 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 no. Because...
Lizzie Garrison, Lenny Brown,
So what do you want to do, Vic?
I would like to introduce her. Maybe you should. You should. But like,
Vic,
just do it, and we'll be quiet this time. But
thank you.
Yeah.
Vic, Lizzie Cooperman is here, comedian, and she's going to be accompanying herself with some sounds and speaking too. I hope at some point speaking. Do you have plans to speak? What is she, Harpo Marx?
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going through the mail, and Doug gives me this. So it came through your P.O. box?
It came through my P.O. box.
Wow.
They wanted to make sure it got to you right.
All we get is it says, this one is for Tim, and it's got a beautiful painting. I kind of quite like the painting here. It's a rooster sitting on three dead. What do you make of that? What do you think those are? Some kind of sheep?
Show it to the camera.
Oh, damn. So.
Sheep?
Oh.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Perhaps, yeah.
Rooster's sitting pretty up there on those dead sheep. Fish around everything. Now, I look on there and go, okay, it's a nice album cover.
Rah.
There's nothing on the spine to tell me nothing about who this is. I open it up. Still nothing. Just another goddamn piece of art. Some kind of word. I can't read that word. Can you make out that word? I see swim. And then this was just like, I should try to start reading this. Look at this. Look at all that writing. God. It's just typed. And it says, he suffered the summer and he witnessed the winter as it opened his arms to a bouquet of lovers, and out of the petals were.
Is this from Chris Harrison?
I love reference.
That is exactly. Do you know the
I don't know those references because I don't watch all these reality shows. Okay. Now, I still don't know anything about what the band is, what kind of music it is, whether they got good reviews, bad reviews.
A little apoplectic.
And then I try to get the damn thing out, and it barely comes out because it's on some kind of thick vinyl, like it's a goddamn 33 1/3 RPM for my gramophone. And it says Monogram on it. Okay, well, you know what?
You got something there. There's
we'll
something.
We'll put it on, and we'll listen, and we'll hopefully it'll be great.
Got nothing.
But guys, if you're in a band, ladies, put the name of your group on the cover of your album.
Be My Baby is my favorite song.
Right? What do you are? What do you think you are? The Beatles? Even the Beatles themselves put their name of the album, name of the band on the cover. Hey, we're the Beatles. Check us out.
Hello.
Yeah, but that white album they just
that says the Beatles on it.
Why don't they get someone to make some fun picture? Why do they got to just be white?
Because don't you understand? They just come off the colorful maximalist imagery of Pepper and Magical Mystery Tour. It was everything. Boom, bang, they're hitting you with everything. And then it's like reset, white. Wipe your mind. It's all about like the music.
Do you like the white album better than the Metallica Black?
Yes. No one really likes Metallica. Yeah. Come on. Hurl, share. All right. Lizzie, how was your summer?
Oh, my God. Everything's skyrocketing for me, Tim. My summer, I actually spent the summer. Are you talking about this summer? Which summer should we go to?
In general, your summers.
It's been really good, actually. I'm looking for an apartment right now, if anyone here is of anything. And I want drama. I don't want drama-free. Most people say no drama.
What are some of your favorite neighborhoods in Los Angeles? And then we'll get to Zoom.
I'm a fan of Pasadena.
There you go.
Right now. I like the wide sidewalks.
Oh, yeah.
Tree I like lined. The sprawling rose gardens.
Tree-lined.
What kind of drama do you want at an apartment?
I want Virginia Woolf at sunrise.
What is
I want that level of drama.
Do you want like a landlord that isn't a crazy landlord drama, or do you want like a neighbor that
pounding on the wall?
I want someone to just fling open the door and be like, somebody drank my almond milk.
Okay.
And then I want to have to kind of see how that plays out through the course of the lease, beginning
the course
to end.
Of the lease.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Well, a couple of big announcements before we get into the show. This week, by the way, today begins a series of office hours events, the likes of which you've never seen. Okay. We have today's show. Okay. We have today's wonderful, jam-packed, fulfilling show that you're going to be so fulfilled by.
Chaka Khan.
By the way, if you're not a Patreon, you're listening in the future for us. You're listening to something that already happened. Dope. What did you do? Join now. Then you don't be so dumb, and then you'll be part of the live experience. And then your friends won't look at you and go, what a dope. Patreon.com/officehourslive. $5 a month. Couldn't be cheaper. It could be, frankly. It could be a lot cheaper. But it's not. With inflation, Vic, we got to start thinking about raising the prices.
Bring it up a bit.
Mm. Everyone's talking about inflation.
You get what you pay for, as my Nana always would say.
But today begins a weekend of office hours extravaganza events that I think already people are getting very excited about. They don't even know. Tomorrow night, the return of Office Hours East. Almost like the Wicked Witch of the East. Want to make those comparisons, right? Wicked Witch of the West. She was the green monster, right? With the Vic?
The West was the, yeah.
And East was the beautiful princess.
Yeah, it was Glinda.
Right.
Glinda, the witch of the... Mm-hmm. But she was a good witch.
She was a good.
She got slammed by that house.
And her sister was the West one. Right. Sister had the green skin.
So Office Hours East is sort of the...
I don't know how that's possible.
I don't like this portrayal of the Office Hours East be sort of the heroine of the story. I think we are. So I think we're flipping that story on its head. Be kind of interesting to examine that some more. Get our maybe we can get somebody from the Frank L. Baum Foundation to call in and comment, Matt.
Wait, sorry, sure. Are you saying you're anti Office Hours East, which is part of our empire?
No, I just think it's not fair to label us the wicked old witch with the green face and the nose.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll get you, my pretty.
And then who's John Glazer? He's got the pink dress. He's getting slammed by the house. I don't think so. Toes curling up. I don't think so. That's Friday. That's tomorrow night. That's on the East Coast. You got is Slice coming back, Matt?
Definitely.
John Glazer.
Got Slice. They have a little interactive thing. Is it gear?
I don't want to know anything.
Well, this is like a pre. People have to submit.
Oh, okay.
Then we do need tweet your pictures of is it gear?
And John will tell you.
New York Jonathan.
New York Jonathan will tell you.
If it's gear or not.
Is it gear or not?
Yeah.
He'll tell you.
He'll let you know.
Wow. Okay.
Very confusing.
Now, that's just the beginning. Actually, it's the middle, because this is the beginning. Today's the beginning. Tomorrow's the middle. Saturday, mark your calendars, because game night is back. And guess who our guests are going to be? I think this is going to shock the world, the comedy world. Greg Turkington, with his spouse, his wife. Is spouse a taboo word? Are we calling people spouses anymore?
I think it's fine still.
It's all right.
Spouse?
Yeah.
His scouse? What if his wife was Scottish? She'd be his scouse spouse. That'd be fun. His scouse spouse, Simeo.
Hmm.
Now, this has not been seen before. I don't think it's ever happened. You're going to see me and Greg with our masks off.
Very interesting.
Just being how you might see us on an average Saturday night as we convene for gaieties.
Wax on, wax off.
That's Saturday night for patrons only, okay? Mm. And Greg's got his own game that he's developed.
Who else is going to be here?
The gang, you. Are you going to be there or are you going to chicken out? Not chicken out. That's not
fair. I canceled plans to be here. And Vic?
I'll be here.
How are we going to fit?
We'll make it work.
What are you going to bring? You going to bring a DuPont visor?
Might. Or Wheel of Fortune or something.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Raytheon.
Yeah. Raytheon. Vic's in with big...
Bezos.
Big defense. Big defense. let's take a zoomer and then we have some big news about the city of the day as well. Big bad news.
Big bad news.
Big bad news. Nathan Oxenfeld. Zoom. You got something. I think you're new to our scene here.
Nathan.
Hello there. I was just doing a little party hat celebrating all these cool events coming up.
Cool.
Yeah. I did have a question. I was curious who makes the cover art for each episode, like this this episode with the tricycle, all okay. three of you on the bike.
Great question, Matt. Do you have an answer for him?
It's Julius Cox this week.
Yeah.
It's true.
Cox.
It's in the description. It's usually in the description.
Cool. So, yeah, you just take take submissions for those?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Cool.
Join the fun.
Yeah, send them in.
DM me. Send them in. We need more.
You fucking cock.
Did you make that sign behind you?
I did.
Oh, there we go.
Wow. What is it?
It's a little, it's an eye chart, actually.
Oh. What does it say? You can be, I can't read the rest.
It says you can learn to see clearly.
Cute. Oh.
You can relearn to see clearly.
That's a, yeah, that's an attention grabber there. That'll suck you right in.
Tell you what,
in.
Boys, my sight well is done. Going rapidly. I have to wear, I'm wearing glasses now to read.
I saw just your post. That was news to me. I've never seen Tim in glasses.
I'm worried I'm going to get beat up if I wear them outside. I don't want to look like no nerd.
Fluorized Tim.
How do you get a
Doug,
how do you avoid getting your asses whipped?
Like I am just
when
a
you
tough
go
guy.
Out to the park or go to the bar. Because I'd whip your ass if I saw you out there. What about Lizzie too with the specs?
I've been whipped. I've been whipped.
Your ass ever get whipped with those four eyes? I'd be up. I'd be way up in your grill, being like, "Fucking four eyes, get the fuck out of here, asshole."
I just give him my lunch money and say sorry.
Yeah,
I thought I don't make eye contact.
I'd be just, doing this shit, Doug. I'd be like,
"Yeah, I'm just like, I get small and then they feel bad for me. They won't hit me.
Goodbye."
Yeah, Tim, if you hang up an eye chart, just read it every day, you might not need them as much.
Well, you're claiming that you can actually improve your eyesight? Or are you just making that up?
No, yeah. If you make it sort of a daily thing, just leave it up in your room, read it every day.
I'd like an actual scientist to
Yeah, but what if you know what it says? You're just going to go through the motions.
Right.
An eye doctor.
Well, and you're standing too close.
Yeah, don't you just memorize what it says and then be it?
Say with your eyes closed.
Yeah, right. So like if it's a little blurry, you actually use that memory to help you a little bit, stretch farther back. So you can kind of play with it and see if it works.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm cables. Interested. Because I don't like this feeling. I'm looking like I was looking at that record, and I can't really read this. I mean, it's kind of hard. It's like red, black on red, but I kind of got to do that old man thing where I got to find my little zone where it works. It's fucked.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to flex it. Keep it flexible.
Okay.
Yeah.
City of the day. Hashtag fail. Play along to this song, Lizzie. Can you play along to this? I think the audience somehow collectively silenced your keyboard. I went in there. And...
Oh, cool.
Wow. Oh, keep going.
What is that from?
Santa Fe.
Wait a minute. Where's that? Let's isolate. Drop boys, calm down. Is that loaded in the library?
Yeah.
Wow. What other hits do we have?
Nice.
I'm thinking of good vibrations. Great. Thank you.
It's really good.
What year is that keyboard from? 90s or something like that?
Yeah. Look at this. Right. There's a chunk taken out of it.
Show us the back. This is pretty clever. It's a pretty clever hack.
So the battery pack, all my batteries spilled out. I thought, what's going on? My keyboard isn't working. Turned out the tray was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used just a kitchen sponge and I taped it onto the back.
That is inventive. Right. That mm-hmm. is almost MacGyver-esque.
Thank you.
Does the chunk have a story that's taken out of it? Is there?
That's when Tim saw me in glasses.
Oh, shit.
I smashed that keyboard over your head.
Not nice.
I saw you do this routine at the now defunct Satellite a couple years ago.
Right.
And I thought it was terrific.
Thank you.
What was one of your, what was it? You would, tell a joke and then slam that keyboard. It was funny every time.
Right. I agree. Right, it was. It was extremely what was,
I hate to say what was one of the jokes, but I just do love it.
Right. I don't even remember. I mean, what was one of my jokes? Doug, help me. What was...
Do you have any memory of any of your jokes? I want to do this to you. When it comes to you, it comes to you. And you know what? If it's not coming to you, then maybe we should examine the jokes.
No, I would like for it to come to me. Okay. But right now I'm doing a character. Okay, so like normally I would come
out.
Right
now you're doing a character?
Not right now, but... Okay. I would.
What is all this stuff around you? There's a lot of clutter by you.
I have a couple thermoses.
I know, but I'm looking at the frame, and there's notebooks coming out of everywhere. What are you, Tiny Tim?
I have some ideas. I'm a poet, so I keep notebooks around. The poet always dies.
What is the poem?
The poet is the first to die.
What's the latest poem?
Truly, I wrote a poem called I Took It Out on God.
Oh, that sounds controversial.
It is pretty good, actually. I'm entering into this poetry seminar that starts next week, actually.
You're entering into a poetry seminar.
Okay. Yeah. I'm taking this like week-long poetry intensive. For real.
For real.
I do write poetry.
I love it.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I would assume you
are your poems rhyming?
By the way, Bob Dylan went to my summer camp.
When you were a kid.
We went at the same time.
I was. He went to there to molest teenage girls during the summer.
Yeah, luckily I was there that year.
Here's the one thing y'all should know about this camp is we do have a visitor every couple days. Bob Dylan. You're familiar with Bob Dylan? He comes in. And he sneaks into the cabins at night. He's almost like Jason from the Friday the 13th.
But I remember my first week there, they were like, oh, this is Bob Dylan used to sit under this tree and play guitar.
This is a Jewish camp.
Yeah, it was called Herzl Camp. Yes, I was just,
this is funny you bring it up. I'm reading this new biography of Bob Dylan, and it's called The Double Life of Bob Dylan. And it's very thorough, and it's very, you know, like being an honest, like, let's get down to like what this guy's really like. Collect and they talk about that camp in the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it was, I touched a bat at that camp.
Touched a bat, like a baseball
like
bat?
Like a dead bat, the animal shit. A bat, wow. Dead on the ground. Like I played the drums at the time but I had a drum pad, you know, like a big thing. Yeah. And for some reason I wasn't wearing my glasses and I thought I saw my drum pad in the middle of the woods. And I was like, is that my drum pad? And I went up to it and someone was like, that's a bat. But it was like this big black kind of rubbery shape.
I got chased by a snake the other day.
Really?
Yeah, sort of.
I love to laugh.
Where was that?
I was just walking in the neighborhood and I was walking I was doing a big walk and it was in the afternoon and a snake was slithering right beside me. And I just started running. I think it was a harmless little garter snake, but
right.
It gives you a little scare. You're like, what if I
get bitten
by a snake? I
wonder what the symbolism of that is. What do you think? Get a Peloton.
There you go. Stay indoors. Get that AC pumping. Let me ask you something, folks. You ever run out of paper towels?
Yeah, I'm out right now. It's a nightmare.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then you should be in the market for Dogs, the Bounty Hunters. Have you mistakenly held the ketchup bottle upside down and squirted all over your face? Went to check your wristwatch and accidentally spilled an entire glass of red wine on your new rug? Then when you reached for a paper towel, you grabbed an empty cardboard tube instead? Well, thanks to the fine folks at Dogs, the Bounty Hunters, it's never been easier to solve these common problems. Simply press the emergency alert button on your dog's The Bounty Hunter key fob, and a high-frequency, high-decibel alarm only audible to canines will immediately summon a highly trained St. Bernard. He'll be at your door in no time with a roll of bounty conveniently strapped to his neck so you can clean up your mess in no time flat. That's Dogs the Bounty Hunter, not associated with Dog the Bounty Hunter. And now, these dogs only get Bounty brand paper towels? Is that correct, Matt?
I think Vic booked this out.
I booked this, yeah. I was talking with the Bounty people about trying to get a visor, and I suggested this to them.
Oh, so this is in conjunction with Bounty brand.
Correct, yes.
Cool.
We were in talks and coming together, so see how this ad does.
You ever think those paper towels come back all slobbery?
They might, yeah. But it just, you set them out for a little bit and then just dries, you know.
It's better than nothing.
They're clean mouths.
Better
they're,
than nothing,
too. Dogs' mouths are cleaner than ours,
I've heard. Better than nothing. We've had a very difficult to crack code for this season of the City of the Day. And there's a guy out there, name of Mark Bay.
Well, some bad news, Mark. Mark flaked on us.
Oh,
Mark
passed.
Oh my God.
Mark passed
away.
Mark Bay has died. No, Mark didn't show up. I don't know what happened to Mark.
When people die, we should say they flaked.
Flaked on life.
Yeah, my grandma flaked
away. But we have a backup. Someone wants to take a guess.
All right.
Well, that's fine too. Why do I care who it is? Just go to the guy who guesses it.
Well, it's not Mark. It's Dennis now.
Dennis. Is this the ghost of Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys who drowned in the bay?
Oh.
He did.
I hope not. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, how you doing? Oh, yeah, Floyers.
Yeah.
Oh, Floyers.
Yeah,
you're from Philly?
I'm from Philadelphia. Now, suburbs. Yeah, but I live in the place where JoJo left from the song, the Beatles song.
Tucson.
I live in Tucson, Arizona now.
Hmm.
And
God, why don't you
I love
give up on
here?
This Philly shit, man? If you're living in Tucson, Arizona, just get rid of it. It's over.
Hilarious story, Tim. I moved here in 2014, and then 4 years later, I moved back to South Philly. And I only lasted a year, and I came back to Tucson. Because,
couldn't stand the humidity, eh?
Couldn't stand the humidity. The cold was more like it. It was the worst part.
But, there's no ice to skate on in Tucson.
Is it still?
Well, I do play ice hockey, and there's only one sheet of ice here from about October to April, so I don't get to play a lot here. But anyway, I didn't know this was for City of the Day. I'm sorry. I went to the chat and it said, anyone want to jump in? And I said, yeah, I'll jump in. I thought that meant to talk to y'all. So I don't know what the code is.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Some more fine producing from Matt Carlin back there.
couldn't have been more clear.
wasn't Matt's fault, and I jumped in too late. So I will move on and concede my time to somebody else.
Can you just give a clue and let him guess on the spot?
The clue was it stinks.
Okay.
So Connor Schultz in the chat says he has a guess.
Connor? Okay, let's go, Connor. Thanks.
Philadelphia, then.
All the best. Go Philly. Oh, yeah.
Connor. Unmute, please, Connor.
Hello.
Hello, Connor. How you doing? You're very close to your camera.
Am I?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
and we have a ceiling fan. Guessing. Ding, 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 ding.
Hey,
the ceiling, I see the shadow of it, but.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
We always see ceiling fans when we touch. It's very fun. God bless the ceiling fan. Keeping it cool.
This is kind of an on-the-spot guess, but is it like the capital cities of the least populated states in America?
By all means, don't have a wrong answer drop.
It is not.
Don't have a wrong answer buzzer set up
in your drop line ready to go.
He's got x-rays on his wall.
I mean, it was just so off.
That'd be something along those lines.
So you just wanted to meet him with, like, silence.
Matt said the clue is it stinks.
It stinks, yeah.
Maybe we can give a double down on the clue.
Right. It's bathroom related.
Well, that would be tough. Clue. That's still tough.
All right.
No one got it. No one wins. Related. We all lose. All right, that's life.
You want to go ahead?
I'll give one more hint. Think about a flavor of jelly.
What?
Wait, what?
Look at what today's city is.
You're trying to guess the actual city.
Oh, the actual
city.
Well,
they're not going to crack the code.
Oh, that's what I was trying to do, the code.
That's complicated for a, you know.
All right.
Well, that's the game, though, is to crack the code.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying right now it's too late.
But it's a good clue for the name.
Mark Bay failed us.
What about, here's another clue. A supersonic jet, baby. Supersonic.
Oh, yeah. Very fast.
Supersonic jet, baby.
Anyone want to guess based on that? Blake says he's got it. All right.
People are zoning out.
Maybe put the pipe down next time before calling in.
Blake, what do you got?
Is it Concord?
Correct.
Virginia?
Yeah. Concord, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you very much. City of the day, Concord, New Hampshire. Vic, what was the code?
The code was the top 10 states that clogged their toilet the most. So congratulations to number one. It is Vermont.
Wait a minute.
Vermont clog based on but what Google
is,
searches.
What, how do you determine the city out of that?
Well, Matt did that
just
part.
Just the capital.
Yeah,
the capital.
Yeah, the capital.
Oh, so these were all capitals.
Yeah,
capitals. I was just going
state capitals. Yeah. They were close. The people
yeah.
Capitals.
Yeah, so.
They were definitely capitals. So. But they were listed in the order of the states.
Right. Vermont, Wyoming, people. Alaska, Delaware, North Dakota, Rhode Island, Hawaii, South Dakota, Montana, and New Hampshire are the top 10 who fill their toilets so much that they need to Google how to unclog.
Wait,
their,
so Vermont is number one?
Vermont's number
it's gotta
one.
Gotta be all that fish food.
Yeah.
That's what? Like that 50 states song. Do you know that song? Yeah. Alabama, 50, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho,
Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, man. Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan. That's
all, right, that's wow. all 50. Of them. That's all.
Wow.
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 That's all the states. All.
I haven't thought about that song in like 30
who
years.
Who did that?
Like my choir teacher.
In like second grade.
Yeah. Bob Dylan wrote that at my summer camp, sitting under a tree.
Holding a bat.
Holding a bat that he thought was a drum pad. Right.
Pennsylvania.
Actually, they had a band class at my camp because of Bob Dylan. They started a thing.
I wonder if he gives any money to the camp, keeps it going, keeps that legend up.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another call. I think we have our special guest maybe standing by or not. Standing
yeah,
by.
Steve is here.
Oh, let's talk to Steve. Overwhelming fornication. Sorry, shut up, you guys. I have to say, I don't like to say the word shut up. But sometimes whoa, there he is.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you. I haven't seen you without a hat maybe ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's work mode. I took my hat off for this special occasion. Thanks for having me. No poopy, but thank you very much.
Yeah. Does he look all right in the camera, Matt? Is he all right?
He looks great to me.
You look a little, you know who you look a little like right now?
We look a little alike, you and me. I've heard that before.
I appreciate that. I'm picking up this like Jeff Tweedy vibe from you.
Oh yeah, no. He's he helped us out on Patriot.
Oh really? Let's get into it.
Yeah, he let us record at his space in Chicago. So yeah,
he didn't write those beautiful songs.
No, we didn't get that lucky.
Well, the songs in that show are beautiful.
Thank you.
Steve Conrad here on my show. First of all, it's a new show that's just. I think it just started streaming today.
This morning.
Oh my God! Are you nervous? How do you feel?
I get a little nervous when critics have it and the audience doesn't have it. That period. But I think we're doing okay. It came out this morning, and I wouldn't watch it at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's.
It's not that kind of show. It's not Sesame Street.
No, and we're still editing. I'm working on your musical number.
Oh, how's that going?
Oh, it's so fun. It's really great.
Well, listen, I think this is a full disclosure moment. I don't want to sound like this is an infomercial because I do a voice on this new show that's called Ultra City Smiths. That's coming out now on AMC. It's a very weird thing. This is a stop motion film noir show. How do you describe this show?
Well, I think we start with trying to be funny. So I guess I would call it a comedy first, but there are many different elements that we use to just create a basis on which we then try to be funny and entertaining. And yeah, one of those is to cinematically look like noir, and the show's a musical. And it is cast with baby dolls who are repurposed as adults. So it's an adult world, but the characters are elementally former baby dolls.
They're still essentially baby dolls.
The male pattern baldness on them and beer bellies and bad haircuts and bad teeth. And so they look like our friends and neighbors.
Now, this show born out of the early days of the pandemic where there was this like shutdown? Like, you know, I think we're starting to see a lot of animation. We're starting to see a lot of things that could be done during the pandemic. Or did you have this idea in the back of your head for a while?
We've been working on it for a while, but it's always sort of been on the bench. It's painstaking, obviously, stop motion. And I just didn't have time to put the show together before this year. And then this year we had nothing but time.
Right.
So the stars aligned in that sense. I wish, you know, obviously our lives could have all just remained normal. But we were able to make the show under those terms, which was unusual. Most of our friends were sidelined this long year, but I was able to keep our group together. And I try to work with the same group of technical people and the same actors. And
you've got this troop of actors that are like the best, but also like you keep working with them.
Well, I do have a group that can I hope that I can say that of you next time, because we really do try to stick together.
You hear that, boys? We're going to be taking a little sabbatical as I go work with Steve Conrad on set. We're going to have to take a little break. Get Neil Hamburger back in here. You hear me?
I miss you.
I mean, I'll tell you, I've told this to you privately, but Patriot was a show that for whatever reason, there's a lot out there. You know this. You hear things, you go, I can't watch this right now. I don't know what this is. And then I think it was over really fairly, like as the pandemic was starting, I'd get somebody, I think it was Adam McKay had just said how much he loved it or something. And I go, let's dive in. And it quickly became one of my favorite things ever. Like,
thank you so much.
And people feel that way about it. I know I'm not alone.
I love it very much.
No, I sure appreciate that.
But I want to ask you just a couple of things about that show. First of all, Matt, can you play the monologue for Steve here? Hopefully he can hear it. Listen to this. Listen to this bit of writing.
Hold on one second.
No, I took Matt for a loop here.
Let's give you field four. Should have covered some of this ground in Luxembourg, but you fucked that up. But they're still on the hook. Now, don't overpromise this week. Sell them on the structure. You can talk about it with confidence. Keep it simple. A little something like this, John. Hey, let me walk you through our Donnelly nut spacing and crack system rim riding grip configuration. Using a field of half-sea sprats and brass-fitted nickel slits, our bracketed caps and splay-flexed brace columns vent dampers to dampening hatch depths of 1/2 meter from the damper crown to the spur of plinth. How? Well, we bolster 12 husk nuts to each girdle jerry, while flex tandems press a task apparatus of 10 vertically composited patch amplers. Then pin flam fasten pan traps at both maiden apexes of the gym joints. A little something like that, Lakeman.
Thank you.
First of all, there's a lot of that in the show. That's not the only time that kind of happens. Is that?
Well, I should point out, Tim, that if that scene works, it's largely attributable to Kurtwood, who. You know, he's one of America's greats, but he had to do that in a single take. We weren't going to cover it, so he had to have, you know, an efficiency with that dialogue.
That's what I wanted to ask: is how does he wrap his head around that? And
I gave it to him about a month before, and he just put in the hours. You know, it's funny. I wrote a film that had a similar kind of demand on a scene, and I realized they were going to cover it, and I thought, well, once you cover it, it loses all of its magic. And
yeah, because it's a performance. You want to, like, the audience wants to feel like they're on the tightrope with the actor. Like,
yeah, and I lost that fight then, and it's one of the reasons I just decided to just shoot my own stuff from now on.
First of all, is any of that is any of that based on anything?
I sat next to a guy on a plane once. And,
no, I mean just like the terminology, but go ahead.
I think a plinth is something. But I think so that's the only thing in there.
The rest of it's jibber jabber.
Yeah, I sat next to a guy on a flight, and I sort of peeked over at what he was working on. He's just a business guy, and he was working on a piece of paper that had words like that, and it was all Greek to me. And I had instant compassion for him. I thought, wow, like, you don't dream about doing this when you're a kid. He's doing this to just make a living. And I don't know. He won me over with that kind of, you know, the walk of his life really won me over. So I thought, well, if this guy takes that too seriously, he'd be a pretty good adversary for the main character.
And you in Patriot, there's a book that character has written that's like the Bible for that piping world. And you've turned that into a podcast where is it like an audiobook of that book?
It's an audio recording of the book, and Kurtwood reads it. So Kurtwood continues to play this character, and Amazon doesn't know about it. I'm not allowed to do that, obviously. So we're going to go as long as they'll.
What are they going to do? What are they going to, like, no one knows anything. No one cares.
Bezos will land his spaceship at your house and shut that audio book down.
Well, we'll see, but we're going to keep going until they pull the plug on us.
I mean, why would they? Well, so that show, would you say that show is canceled?
I think it was wrapped up. We had an indication from the studio that we weren't going to have the chance to go beyond two.
Right.
So I knew that before we started a film two, essentially. So.
Oh, you did? Don't feel like it. I mean, it feels like it could go. I mean, obviously it feels like I wanted to watch more of that show.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I would have made one more. My brother's character, Dennis, I hope this isn't too inside baseball for everybody, but my
if
brother's
it is, character, fuck him.
Okay. Well, Dennis was going to be responsible for getting that bag of money to Iran. So Dennis was going to, his wish of being a
spy
was going to be fulfilled in three.
Oh, that, well, he's one of the great characters ever. And then you did another show. I'm not doing a whole retrospective here, but Perpetual Grace Limited. That's also fucking great.
Oh, thanks.
It's on Stars.
It's on Epics. It might as well
Epics.
Be.
Sorry. But what's great about these two shows and this new show is it seems like there's places out there giving you like ample resources to make some pretty out there, weird, challenging television. I mean, there's not a lot of stuff like that out there.
Well, the way that works is we're able to get a cast that makes it a little easier for the studio to say yes to the stuff we're working on. And the way I think that works is I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the cast just likes the good day's work. Or if the material is challenging to their set of talents, they're really happy to be engaged in something that's slightly unusual.
There's very little opportunity to do like interesting work, I would think, for most actors, right? There's a lot of, I mean, you know, there's not a lot out there of the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we just got to know each other and then we became friendly. And then it was on a show like you're performing in Ultra City Smiths. There's really nothing in it for the cast. There's no pay. And you got to leave your house and go to work. And I think they just do it because we have all formed a relationship over this stuff that I hope we are able to sustain.
Yeah. Oh, are you leaving? Are you quitting?
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
There's somebody
thank
quitting
you so
right
much,
in front of us.
And
this is terrible.
I'll
fuck
see you.
Fuck you. Fuck you. I don't know what's going on, man. It's just taking a bathroom break, right, Matt? Okay, there you go. Very disruptive, mostly on me, because I could have just let that happen in the background. I didn't need to bring any attention to it.
She had a keyboard on her lap, so.
Yeah, and she did make a little, it was very distracting. And it ruined my interview with you. In my
Let's try to, we can pick it back up.
You're in Chicago. That's where Doug's from. He's actually from Naperville, but.
not. Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, I have a little company here, so we were able to write the stuff here.
So how do you manage to, this is inspiring, I think, you manage to have a successful ongoing career in television and film, and you're staying in Chicago. Is that people look at you like you're nuts, or is it, because you don't see a lot of that?
Yeah, I think it helps. I find it hard to be creative in Los Angeles. I think due largely to having, you know, all my, everybody has to work so hard in this business. Your associations just become the people you work with, generally. And you're lucky if you happen to like them too.
Yeah.
But if that is the extent of your set of relationships, you can your writing can start to be a little narrow.
Yeah.
And living here, it helps me to, I think, be able to access the lives of my friends and neighbors in a way that I think allows the work to, as ambitious as we get with our writing, I hope at the end of the day that people relate to it. And I think living here helps me write stuff that is relatable.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead. Doug's got a question for you.
Do you live in a church?
Yeah, this is an old church where we have our offices. So it's a rehab church.
That's
stained glass. I have a pulpit.
Oh my God.
This is where you dictate your commands to your staff?
Yes. Well, yeah, I can overlook the guys as they're working.
I mean, you do come across kind of as like a jerk, you know, like your energy is like, seem like a bad guy.
Did you get the gift I sent you?
Yeah, I did. I just got it yesterday. I was annoyed because I was hoping it wouldn't come and I could razz you about it, but it did arrive.
No, I am a man of my word.
I appreciate it.
I hope you didn't have it already.
I don't. It's this beautiful giant. It's huge. It's a giant book of Beatles gear. It's called Beatles Gear, and it's like it's the most exhaustive thing I've ever seen. Where it's like every pick that they ever had, every amp, every like all the different guitars, and
it's nuts.
Yeah, it's really cool.
The cool thing about you realize in the early days they were just playing on like club gear.
Yeah,
like, just cheapest stuff.
Something I did not realize, and this is a nerd. This is in the weeds, nerd inside baseball shit, but. The famous Rickenbacker guitar that Lennon played in the first years, the black Rickenbacker, is actually his old natural wood Rickenbacker that he just painted black. I always thought it was a whole new different guitar. So I'm learning things every day. Well, I'm going to ask you to go and get back to work and ask you to keep being creative and brilliant.
Okay. I'm gonna finish your scene today.
Oh, man.
The big Tim has he had knocked out of the park our super finale song. It's a real.
I can't believe it, and it was so hard. You guys wrote this musical theater number that I can sing okay, but this was like a true challenge.
Yeah, it's like Disney bad guy song.
Yeah, Disney bad guy song. What's this?
Well, I'll clip it off and I'll send
painted
it to you.
Black.
These guys are good. They're playing Painted Black by the Rolling Stones because I said that they painted the game. That's pretty smart. You got to admit. These guys are pretty clever quick. Too.
Quick, too. Okay, hey, thanks for having me, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. And I hope to see you in person one day. We've actually never... Well, we did meet backstage in Chicago at a Tim and Eric show, right?
Yes, we did. Yeah, way back. But I'll take you up on that. Next time I'm out there, we'll get a hang in.
Cool, man.
Stay well, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Bye. Good luck with the show.
That's thank you.
Ultra City Smiths on the AMC network. They also make cars.
Oh, nice.
You ever have an AMC vehicle?
I only had a Rickenbacker.
Rickenbacker cars.
Rickenbackers.
Oh, man. Have you ever seen Patriot?
No.
Oh, my God.
I need to see it.
You got
to
watch that show.
Is it really on Starz Network?
No, that's on Amazon, so anybody can watch it. I bet all these people making fun of Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
I bet all these people making fun of Jeff Bezos are right on there going to Amazon.com for all their needs. Right?
Yeah. Do you realize Bezos means kisses?
Say that again?
Bezos means kisses, I realized the other day.
Really?
Yeah, is that weird?
In Spanish or
really?
What?
Yeah, Bezos, right?
What can we draw from that? What can we get from that? Well, if you were doing stand-up right now, where would you take that thought?
I take that spot, that thought? He's delivering kisses to space so that he can...
Okay.
I failed.
What's his first name, Hershey's?
What's his first name?
Hello.
Jeff Bezos.
Wait, I've got one.
Yeah, yeah.
Doug, check this out.
Okay.
So they have Hershey's, right? What about him? He's.
Him. He's. I like that.
You know, I love all the politically correct, correct thing. They have these woke people out there going Hershey's. I'm thinking, what is it? Chocolate time?
I do not shampoo my hair.
What's that? Not funny to you, Vic?
That's very funny. I was just trying to
Jeff kisses my what? What's his middle name?
He kisses the ground that his money walks on. I tell you that Jeff Bezos was all ready for that. Jeff Bezos was all ready for criticism, handing out $100 million checks as soon as he got back. You see that, Vic?
Right. I did not.
You didn't see this?
No, he was handing out checks.
Real?
They bury the good news, ladies and gentlemen, because no one wants to feel good.
Wow.
They want to feel shit.
Who'd he get the $100 million?
Well, he gave it to two people. He gave $100 million to Van Jones. You know Van Jones?
From CNN?
Mm-hmm.
What?
No.
Yes.
Come on.
What?
This did not happen. For what?
Well, because Van Jones has charities, or he's got like an organization. Okay.
All right, well, there we go.
Van, buy what you want.
Not just, no,
it's
he just, gave it.
It's charity. It's right. Not necessarily.
He gave it to Van Jones to do with it, what you know, to put it into his organizations. And then he gave it to
Van Morrison,
Fox News, somebody at Fox News,
Eric Clapton.
Yeah,
he gave it to Jose Andreas, I think is his name, the chef.
I don't know.
It's basically these two guys that are always on CNN. So I think Bezos is working up a CNN play.
Bezos. I also want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer, because you guys paid for all this.
The earth is so teensy.
I know. Well, yeah, Vic, you have your clip.
This is yeah. Oh.
I wonder if he peed in a bottle up in space like his drivers do.
Ooh.
You know?
Mean. Right. Doug, that's
mean. That would have been my stand-up routine, and I would have got a big laugh.
I like Jeff Bezos. Half hour
later. I was doing it, I was like, I'm doing okay. Pretty intense. I'm doing okay. So you're just looking out, and that was probably the most profound thing, was looking at the Earth's atmosphere and seeing how teensy it is.
Is he close with his brother?
What does he mean?
It's life-sustaining and teensy.
Are they close to
me? And you see how small you are. You see that
they look
a lot alike.
Yeah.
You see the atmosphere is small and teensy. You know, this world is full of...
Yeah, what does he mean by that? Pause that for a second. What does he mean looking at the Earth's atmosphere teensy?
Yeah.
Like, right. Atmosphere is invisible, more like.
Right.
So what is he saying? What is he looking at? What is
everything
he talking
he said
about?
Was very, like, fourth grade. Like, he also said, I wish I would have flipped around more.
Yeah.
Say, oh, really? So that's your that. That's your review God. Of space is that you wish
right,
you would.
Right. He wants to bring, you know, bring everybody together in one union.
But
yeah.
Like
but, imagine if I just did that all the time. But.
But I like to tell them apart, though, they had to stick a big cowboy hat on the one, because they do look exactly
right
on the one.
On the one Bezos brother.
That hat was way too
big.
It
was way too big.
It was a floppy big hat. My question is, like, what is he talking about? Because the Earth didn't look teensy, because he wasn't that far up. He was just looking like, it looks like we're in a plane.
Right.
He's like, I can really see clouds from up there. You can see. It's almost like you're above the clouds. That's what he was thinking. The clouds look so small. But someone tell me how far up he was, because he wasn't in space. Let's just stop saying he was in space.
Oh.
Even The Guardian says, for our own sakes, let's hope Jeff Bezos' space trip is just a midlife crisis. He didn't go to space, Guardian. What is space? What is the definition of space?
Where you can't breathe.
It reached the edge of space at an altitude of more than 65 miles.
So the edge of space. Mm-hmm. If I went down to the Mexico border and stood there and I didn't go over this border, I wouldn't say I went to Mexico.
It says that
I might.
It's the weightlessness.
I might lie.
It got out of the gravitational.
Yeah, you went to it, but not into
it. Got where there's no gravity, I guess, is what it means.
I don't know. I'm
just like their whole experience. You could have done it with like a simulation or something, you know?
I bet we just went offline.
Oh.
I did at least.
Shit.
Okay, I'm ready to do my act now. I just
Wes, can you, are we still broadcasting?
I think we're.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's down here too.
Sorry, folks. We're apparently still broadcasting.
We lost our Zoomers and we lost our computers.
Oh, shit.
I think Bezos was
sending a message.
Yank. Yoink. I have controversial thoughts on this.
Are we offline right now?
We're not offline.
Oh, okay. I'll save it then. Okay. Just kidding. I'll save my real thoughts on Bezos.
My controversial thoughts. I wonder if somebody upstairs turned something off. Mm. Could be. My thoughts on... I do think there's something... We do... There is something to leaving the planet and finding and exploring the solar system and colonizing planets and all that stuff. Mm. I think we have to start... We do have to start doing that. I just don't like it that it's these individuals,
right? It's Amazon.
Privately financed.
It's not like mom and pop stores are going to be going up there, and like it's all going to be Amazon, and then we're only going to rely on Amazon to make stuff.
It's not going to be 99 cents and up,
right? Not going to be finding that there.
But there's no question, I think, that as a species, the long play is to continue the species by traveling beyond our planet. I mean, that's just the fact. So it has to start somehow. Maybe it starts with this asshole, and then he. You know, gets killed
okay.
in a fiery explosion.
I think we got to clean up what's down here.
This is the first time I've ever heard
him talk. You can do both, baby. Why are you making an and/or?
We're only doing that. We're not doing.
Well, we got to do both.
We're at the point of no return with this. With the, I don't want to bring it down, but
no.
It doesn't look good for the environment.
Well, then we got to get off planet. Maybe we should, you know.
Okay.
We got to get to a new planet.
No, we could.
Can we? But you just said we're past the point of no return.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. Maybe there's something we could do, but it's not going to it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Wes, what's the status on that other network? Unplugged it. Do you want to run up there and investigate? I'll tell you what to do.
Or you want me to?
Yeah, do you know where that switch is? Behind my bedroom. So Mr. 305
checking in for Are there the kids up there running around unplugging stuff?
There are. What if I went in the main house? I'm like, oh yeah, they're all doing great. So
behind my bedroom doormat, there's a light switch that if you want to do a full reset, it would be that. But that might be more trouble. So, how are you?
I'm ready. I'm good.
Are you working on something right now, professionally?
No, just this.
What?
Just the act I'm scared to do on camera.
You had a character that you were thinking about doing.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to. Well, I have noticed that people are going, you guys are rock stars for getting through this, like, for getting through the pandemic. They'll be like, you guys are rock stars. Like, do you even know? Like, the fact you even cracked that open, dog, you're a rock star. Like, if they even showed up this morning, you are holding that. Like, the fact you even put that visor on, Vic, you're a rock star. Tim, you're a badass.
This is a disturbing person.
You know what I'm saying? You're a badass. Sound? Like, the fact you even woke up this morning, put on masks, Tim. Like, the fact you got through this pandemic, like, you got through it, you're here, and you're like, you're in this room. Okay, because you woke up, right? You woke up this morning.
What are you doing, Vic? Are you
producing? So
oh,
great, now it's gone. No,
we're trying to take Matt's
gone.
Job as he's not here.
Well, but he's not controlling that anymore.
Oh, is it?
Like, there's a whole department.
You're a rock star.
What's Matt doing?
Even though you did that, so you made a mistake, but you're still a badass, and you're still a rock star, and you're a badass. The fact that we as a country went through this, you have to give yourself credit. Like, you are a rock star.
Fair enough. Yeah,
you have to.
I do.
You
do.
Like, oh yeah, that was nothing. That was something. Like, the fact that we did that was just something.
Is this based on someone real?
Don't ever ask that question to
her.
Don't ever ask that question
even
to an actor.
The fact that you had that thought, like, think of where that even came from. Like, the fact that you went that deep down and you're thinking about other
you know
people.
What?
You're thinking about
you're
other people.
You're being too nice. I'm not a rock star.
You care about essential workers and other people. Did you?
Well, what's your story? What was your experience? Because you seem to be really interested in other people.
My experience during all of it was.
Oh, I was actually asking the character, but.
Oh, my.
Are you a rock star?
Let's get that regular. I'm a rock star right now. I'm trying to practice self care. Uh-huh. Like, as much self care as possible.
How
like,
do you
I will take them. I want to feel like I was. I want to feel like I've been knocked unconscious with a bath bomb. That's someone, and right. Now I'm just drowning in self-love for myself.
But what do you work or do you do? I mean, what do you do?
My whole thing right now is helping out the community. So what I'll do is I'll go home and I have, I I chop fruit for people.
Oh, nice.
I learned how to make cut out the inside of strawberries and fill them with chocolate chips, and I pass those out to the community.
That's what community? Just your neighborhood?
Just the community. Yeah. So I feel like I'm doing my part, because what we went through is a big deal.
Uh-huh.
And you guys are all rock stars.
Do you make money doing that? Like, how do you sustain?
It's all part of the community. I also, like, I have to wear a lot of hats to protect myself from the sun, because I'm going door to door all the time.
Oh, my God.
And so a lot of times what I'll do is I'll tell people, you know, it's like a basic kind of khaki hat. I'll say, if you want one of these hats, you don't have to, but you can go to my website. That money all goes back to the community.
Do you make money doing it? I don't understand. Still don't understand. Do you have a job?
It's all about community.
Yeah, I hear that.
A lot of what
are
I
you
do,
married?
A lot of what I do, I was married, and there was actually kind of a tragic accident that happened within the community. And part of what I'm doing is trying to heal that wound in my community and bring people together. Ultimately.
Yeah, well, how's that going? Are people coming together?
I feel like
together?
I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
Vic, are you part of the community?
Oh, I'm part of it. I'm big time.
I'm part
of her community?
I'm part of the rock star community.
It's a community.
Yeah, I'll be part
it's
of it.
It's a rock star.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Vic's great. Vic is a rock star for sure. Vic, you were a rock star through this whole pandemic. The fact that you went door to door, you got on your bike.
Who did? Vic went door to door?
Vic was door to door.
I was, yes, I was.
Did you bang pots and stuff for the essential workers?
Every night at 8 p.m. Every night at 8 p.m. I actually, some nights I would go around at 7:59.
Wow.
Telling people.
Yeah, reminding
start
them.
Start getting the pots ready.
Are you optimistic about, I know there's lots of talk about the Delta variant and everything coming in.
No, I think we have to band together.
Okay.
I really do. I really think we are not messing around
What
here.
Did you think of the whole Trump thing? Were you a Trump hater?
No, like, I'm really scared. I felt like he did a lot of gaslighting. There was a lot of gaslighting. Me and my neighbors, we were all upset, is what we're hearing the truth.
Okay.
Or is this another fake news report? And there was just so much confusion at the time, and we were all in just such a state of despair. It's gonna
so you're
take a
like
lot.
Kind of part of the resistance. Would you consider yourself part of the resistance?
It's going to take a lot of healing to get back, for sure. Definitely. But we together.
Should they
we
be
can
held
back.
Accountable, some of those people from the Trump administration?
Absolutely. And that's part of what I'm doing as part of the community.
Are you pro-vaccine?
I did get a vaccine, yes, as a matter of fact. I got Johnson & Johnson, then I went back for the Moderna booster last week. I went back for
Let me give you a small micro note on your character. You'd say J&J. You would not say Johnson & Johnson.
J&J, thank you.
As you continue to develop the character.
As I continue to develop for all of us, and it's not just for me.
What are we doing, guys? Are we back?
We're back, and
I think we've been back for a while.
Oh, I sound like Jeff Bezos in my lap. How is it, Vic?
It is.
I can't sign back into Zoom though because.
I can give you our next guests are here.
Please do,
Molly. TMJ.
How I was doing it.
Well, I think that's a terrific character. I like your character being born in front of our very own eyes.
In it. Okay, good. I need a name for her.
That's good.
No, I don't.
Molly
no
and Jules, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up?
Sorry we had... Hey, Molly, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be on Office Hours.
Well, the pleasure's all mine.
The finest program.
We were just having some, you can see I'm a little distracted, tense, stressed. We had some technical issues. And the infrastructure of, which, you know, they ask so much of us. Do connect to everybody via internet, and then it doesn't work sometimes. You figure, what are these people doing? What are they doing?
I thought it was just, a little moment of silence. I thought we were all just taking a moment.
We need a moment of silence. But you are here to talk about not the Olympics that are happening right now, but I'd be curious to also hear about what you think of the Olympics going on right now and if they should be going on, what the fuck is going on over there? But now we're looking ahead because the Olympics are coming to Los Angeles in 4 years. Is it 4 years?
It is more than, it's coming up. It's 2028.
Oh. Oh, then forget about it.
Yeah.
We don't need to worry about that.
It's so far away.
Yeah.
Well, let me toss it to our friend Jules Boykoff to tell us a little bit about why the Olympics are bad always.
Yes.
Now.
I've had this.
The future.
Jules, welcome forever to the show. And Jules, you're an expert because you are an Olympian.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. Really happy to be here. And yeah, I did play for the U.S. Olympic soccer team in international matches back in the day. And also now study the Olympics in a more formal way as a political scientist. So yeah, I definitely have noticed some real patterns with the Olympics over the years. And the main ones are overspending, where they say that they're only going to cost X billion dollars and they end up costing a whole lot more. Think of Tokyo's original bid for $7.3 billion. Now it costs more like $30 billion. There's also the militarization of public space. Essentially, we have police forces using the Olympics like their own private cash machine, getting all the weapons and special laws they'd never be able to get during normal political times that then become part of normal policing afterwards. You also have gentrification and displacement that come with the games every single time. And finally, you have greenwashing with the Olympics, where they talk a big environmental game but don't actually follow through. And we're seeing all those patterns that social scientists have identified over the years in place in Tokyo. And so they might seem like Tokyo problems happening under pandemic conditions, but they're actually Olympic problems. And that's why I think it's great to have this conversation with people in Los Angeles right now, because we still have time to think about these games and whether you actually want them.
How do you stop this train, though? I mean, it feels like it's such, it's part of our culture. I'm with you. I kind of turned on the Olympics the last few times because of the negative impact on the cities. But how do you stop it? It feels like just this immovable avalanche that just.
Well,
what do we do?
We have a group in LA called No Olympics LA, and we're actually doing an event on tomorrow. At Stories, a bookstore in Echo Park, where Jules is going to read, kind of talk about some of these things. But you can see right now with Tokyo is a great example of why the Olympics suck, actually, because now is a time when it would make perfect sense to like cancel the Olympics, because COVID is totally booming in Japan. People aren't vaccinated there. People in Japan do not want the Olympics. 80% of people are against it, but they're happening anyway. And this is like one of the times when it seems like it would just make perfect sense to cancel it, because it is going to fuck things up so badly. But the International Olympic Committee, what they have decided to do is double down and then double down on doubling down. So they are going forward with the Olympics. Just 100 terrible things have happened as that has been rolling out. Maybe Jules can list a few of the fucked up things that have happened in Tokyo so far.
Yes, please do, Jules.
Sure. Well, like Molly said, 80% of the population in Japan do not want the Olympics this summer. And yet the International Olympic Committee is ramming ahead. And I think that's really where we should be targeting a lot of our focus, is the International Olympic Committee, because they are the ones and the only ones that have the power to cancel these Olympics, just like they're the only ones that get to cancel the Los Angeles Olympics if something similar happens in 2028. And so we're also seeing in Japan, where the vaccination rate is below 25%. And I think that accounts for some of the disgruntlement with hosting the games right now. We're seeing a surge in cases inside of the Olympic Village. Athletes are having their Olympic dreams shattered and sent home early. And it's just become an absolute, shit show. So, and I think it goes all the way to the beginning, is what I would also like to point out. It's not just all of a sudden a COVID thing, actually. The Olympics were based on what we might call a double lie, because the Prime Minister of Japan stood up in front of the International Olympic Committee back in 2013 and said that everything was under control, quote unquote, after the triple whammy earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear meltdown that happened in Fukushima in 2011. That was not true. Any self-respecting biologist in Fukushima would tell you that was not under control. And, you know, I went there with a bunch of people from No Olympics LA, the group that Molly mentioned in 2019. We talked to a lot of people who said things were not under control. The other lie was they're calling these Olympics the quote unquote recovery Olympics. And it's anything but. They've actually diverted resources from Fukushima to Tokyo to get ready for the Olympics. So if you go to Fukushima, you're going to meet a lot of really angry people. And that anger has definitely spilled over to Tokyo, where people are livid. Oh,
Are furious because, you know, it just shows. It's like all the things the Olympics spends $1 billion advertising themselves as being. It's like, we bring people together and we celebrate the greatness of the human spirit. It's right. Like, well, if you cared about the athletes, you wouldn't make them expose themselves to COVID in a country where people aren't vaccinated right. And bring people from all over the world to a new Olympics variant.
Let me ask you this as a slight, just to be a little bit of a devil's advocate. The athletes themselves, these people these young people who have, you know, found themselves on a track towards, maybe it's track, maybe it's shot put, maybe it's fencing. What is there for them in your vision of a no Olympics world? Like, is that, how do you let those people have, like, you know?
Well, you know, I think we see this with all of the sports leagues, you know, with the NFL and FIFA and everything. It's like the athletes get exploited, right? And we're told that it's like, because they're so great, you know, we're celebrating them, but they don't make the money off of their own labor, like anything else. So there was a worker games one time. Our idea is like a worker owned games, which is the athletes own the operation, you know, the athletes make the profit off of their own labor instead of the people on the IOC, which is just like a who's who of ghouls.
Yeah,
weird Austrian, you know, oligarch you can think of. Henry Kissinger.
Mitt Romney, wasn't Mitt Romney on the head of he like ran the Salt Lake City.
Every bad person you could think of. And they're all just like, they've been slipping on banana peels left and right this week, especially.
Is there a way to reform the Olympics where you...
No, they can't be reformed. No. That's why it's no Olympics. It's got to be something else.
Can I offer a couple ideas?
Everybody has ideas.
Yeah, Doug, let's hear it.
Can they do it on Zoom? I mean, honestly, I am joking, but like, as I said it, I'm thinking, well, why not each, you know, each performer is in their respective country and they're doing it on the same track. And it's like there's somebody there making sure it's the same conditions or something.
That makes a lot more sense to me. Jules, what do you think?
But well, I have another idea, too.
Oh, yeah. Give me your other idea.
Why don't we designate some place on Earth and just make. You know, somewhere like Israel, like where they can't figure out what to do with it, just get all those people
out
of there.
Maybe that's not the best
choice. Send those people elsewhere. I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah,
but that's like take some cities.
That's not a good. That's not a bad idea. Let me just expand on that and vocalize it more clearly.
Or something.
Yeah, you have an Olympic community that is always there. That's fair, and
yeah, you just fly into the same.
And it's
place.
Almost like a Xanadu.
Exactly.
It's an international city. Come on, we can do that, can't we?
What if it's like one sport is in Mexico, and then gymnastics is in Israel, and bobsled is in, and you go to
Jamaica.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say Jamaica, yeah, the John Candy film, and every sport is like all around the world at the same time at existing.
Great idea.
Like
another great idea.
You know what I mean? Like
we can fix this together, folks.
Right, there it is.
I'm going to give this one to Jules because he's got the info.
Well, recently I had the good fortune of debating mano a mano with the longest serving member of the International Olympic Committee, a guy who is called Dick Pound, actually. And some of these ideas were floated, and he was asked, well, what about some of these ideas for like maybe having them in one place or rotating among cities? The Xanadu thing didn't quite come up, but he was not interested at all. Like it was a non-starter. And I think that's what I think Molly's getting at here with the IOC is if you want to try to reform the Olympics, you have to at this point go through the IOC, and they show zero interest in changing the game, even in the COVID.
Right.
Because the point of the IOC is to extract capital from host cities.
Mm-hmm, right.
It is like a traveling carnival that comes into town and is like, hey, yeah. Hey, we got the athletes.
And then everyone's bidding, right? All the different countries are fighting over, like, the, you know, 2022 or whatever. Right?
Oh, yeah. Like, but again, it's like, who, you know, who is it benefiting? It's mostly people that are trying to, like, flip real estate in a city.
I was going
to
ask you, like, how do we follow the money? Who's actually profiteering off all this? Is it...
That's the IOC, and that's why they won't cancel it, because then they'd have to front the money that Japan, they'd be on the hook for billions of dollars, and that's why they won't cancel it, so even like though it's going to be
Are they skimming off the, like, how are they making money off?
They just get paid a lot
to
be there, I believe. And, you know, it's a spinoff. The Olympics, the modern Olympics are a spinoff of the World's Fair, which was also kind of like a traveling carnival grift where it comes to a city and it's like, we're going to promote the city.
Yeah.
You know, we had the Olympics in Los Angeles in 1932, which was like in the middle of the Great Depression. So that was like extremely similar to now in a lot of ways. There were like Hoovervilles, like encampments everywhere.
Right.
And rather than deal with the encampments and housing people and all the stuff they needed to do, they were like, let's promote Los Angeles to the world as like a sun-soaked paradise and spend all this money on putting palm trees everywhere and having the Olympics. So I come from, my family has like some Olympics-based history also, which is that my grandmother was a German high jumper who is Jewish, and she was supposed to be on the 1936 German Olympic track and field team, and then they booted her off at the last minute because she was a Jew.
Why,
so,
though? What did the Germans have? What was the issue with the Jew, with her being Jewish?
I mean, they also kept her on for a long time, being like, do we need to keep a Jew on the team so the world won't boycott? The world won't see that we're like getting ready.
But then
at
the last minute, they yanked her?
Yeah, they yanked her and they said, oh, it's because you're not a good enough athlete, which was bullshit, you know, and
terrible.
And then and also nobody boycotted and the world let the, you know, the Berlin Olympics happen. Yeah. Let Hitler have these like this big propaganda spectacle. So I think I've always thought about like, what is the Olympics? It's really just a big propaganda spectacle for nationalism from all the countries of the world.
I do
that
think
seems
that's
bad.
Yeah, that's one of my root issues of it. It does sort of on the surface, friendly way, the idea of, you know, nations getting together and competing against each other. But and we should be thinking beyond nations and that nationalism, because that just is one step away from, you know, getting into wars, I think. And when you have just this pride in your country, that stuff is such junk. It's so corrosive.
Can I offer a devil's
I'm sorry.
Idea for that?
Yeah, let's hear it, Doug.
Maybe we need sports. And stuff like this prevents wars because it's a way for
Evidence of that, pal.
People, it's
been a pretty war-y time.
Well, there'd be more war if people didn't. If all these people didn't get it out on the court.
Well,
I mean, no, just the whole idea of sports, and especially with the Olympics, the whole idea of like, you know, the greatest athletes in the world and their bodies are a perfect watch. It's like, it's all pretty fascist, and the guy who founded the Olympics was a eugenicist. Just, you know, so I think we've been seeing that also recently with a lot of the like anti-black stuff that the Olympics have been doing. People are sort of like, oh, this isn't about the greatest athletes in the world. It's about like who the IOC wants to represent as these athletes.
Right. Well, for short term, I think what people can basically, I mean, the easiest thing to do is just probably not watch them.
Yeah, I mean,
we all get lazy. We're like, oh, watch the Olympics, I guess.
No, it's fine if you watch them. That's the thing. It's like a lot of people who are against the Olympics also like consume it on TV. And obviously we live in a weird, fucked up world where, you know, Jeff Bezos controls everything with his weird little laugh. But but yeah, we're looking to try and stop them from coming to Los Angeles. The people who brought them to Los Angeles, there was no vote on it. People didn't even know it was happening.
Yeah.
This just happened in Brisbane, Australia too, where they rushed it through without asking anyone in Australia if they want this.
Right.
But the people who brought it to Los Angeles are Eric Garcetti, the mayor, who is already leaving town, I think, forever. Yeah. Just being run out on a you know,
was he going to be the ambassador to Greece or something like that?
Ambassador to India.
India.
Another place that's having total, you know, crisis with COVID. And of course, he totally fucked up the COVID crisis here. Mm-hmm. So they send him somewhere else where it's fucked up.
Yeah, that guy seems like a rat.
But the other person who brought it is this guy, Casey Wasserman, whose name we like to say because he's kind of like a behind the scenes guy, but he's a big sports agent.
Mm.
He's the grandson of Lou Wasserman.
Oh, yeah. The guy that ran Universal. Agent.
Yeah. And Casey Wasserman, he's a money guy, you know, sports money guy. And he was also on the Epstein plane. So
interesting.
He's on the flight logs. Interesting.
He's on the flight logs. He went to Africa with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris Tucker and Jeffrey Epstein.
That was a great trip. I was on that trip, too.
Yeah. A boys' night out.
It was a lot of fun.
People can say what they want, but they can't take your memories away.
I also think, like, if we're talking about 2028, the Olympics in Los Angeles in August, it's going to be 123 degrees out.
Okay, so
do the long jump, whatever it is.
I saw Eric Garcetti in person, and I confronted him to talk to him about that. And that was one of the things I said. I was like, hey, like, in 2028, it's going to be like 100,000 degrees outside. Like, we're not having any outdoor sports. And he was like, well, that's why I'm passionate about climate change. Uh-huh. I was like, okay.
Great.
You're checked out. You're gone.
The Olympics brought to you by Dasani bottles.
Yeah. I think the rest of us, I think even people that, you know, wouldn't think about this normally are grasping that it doesn't make sense. And we have so many issues in Los Angeles that we should be spending money on.
Yeah. Prioritize.
Yeah.
Let's get people housed. Let's fix the transportation situation, you know, the housing situation. Everything's good. There's so many things that are way more important than
right.
that. Before you and start talking about having all these people come that. In. Fuck them.
Right. Like we don't need tourism in Los Angeles, really. No. Like we have plenty of tourism. We're the entertainment capital of the world.
Can I offer another
idea? And another thing that...
Doug, Molly, hold on. Doug's got one more idea.
Doug, let's hear it.
Amazon should team up with the Olympic Committee, Olympics in space.
Mm-hmm. Olympics in space.
Think about how long that jump will be, how high those high jumps will be.
Olympics
with
on
no
the
moon. No gravity, you know?
Yeah.
Think of all the space cops they can hire. Yeah, I mean, another reason we hate the Olympics is because they bring in a million more cops and militarize mm-hmm. the police. And that's what happened in 1984 in Los Angeles too. They used it as an excuse to bring in tanks, all the stuff we kind of see now that you're like, why do we have tanks in Los Angeles? It's like, cause Daryl Gates was like, let's have tanks. It'll be great. So for 2028, they want to get 3,000 more LAPD and 500 more sheriffs.
Yikes.
So again, it's just like, what is this going to make Los Angeles be like as a place? And does anyone in Los Angeles actually want that?
Okay, let's not make this a local issue. This is because we obviously have an international audience, but it is not only just about if you live in LA, it's not the kind of thing where if you don't live in LA, it doesn't matter. This is the opportunity. This is the time to take a stand. This is the moment. So everybody listening, do what I say. And stop these Olympics from coming to my home, not my hometown. Let's be honest. Nobody's from here, but from Los Angeles.
I'm from here.
You're from here. Well,
not a real person though. I don't count.
Go to No Olympics LA. I want to make sure people understand that. At NOLYMPICSLA and become a part of this movement. Now is when you get in, not when they're like, oh, the Olympics are in L.A. next week. What the fuck? We better stop that. Too late. They've already kicked all the homeless people out to the desert.
Have you ever been threatened by the IOC?
Wasserman and his goons.
They like sending you calls, having people stop by your house. Not yet.
Oh,
I mean, yeah. So they're internet stuff. But we're doing this reading of stories tomorrow, and it'll be in the yard. Someone's stories is small. It'll be in the outside part, spilling out into the parking lot.
Where is this again?
Stories Bookstore in Echo Park.
Stories Bookstore in Echo Park. There will be a
gathering a rally for the Olympics.
It's called our an opening ceremony because tomorrow's the
We love wordplay here. You know that. All right. Well, best of luck. And I'm with you. I've felt this way for a long time. I think it's the right. You're on the right side of history here. Sorry, everybody. Some traditions have to be reevaluated, put on pause, restructured. I don't want to diminish any of these terrific young people who are trying to be the fastest swimmer. How cool would it be to be the fastest swimmer for a few years? And then you're not. Then somebody else is faster. Oh, well. Well, that was my whole life. By the way, can I just make one? You know the one, the lovely woman, the lovely young woman, I don't know, maybe girl, with the spelling bee, and she can do the dribbling and whatnot?
What?
You know about the woman that won the spelling bee? You know what I'm talking about, right, Molly?
She dribbles and spells?
Yeah, she won a spelling bee, and she's going to be a basketball star.
Yeah, and she's like dribbling everything. I just want to make sure we're not looking at some future documentary that we're going to find some, you know what I mean? Like I'm thinking of the Tiger Woods documentary where you go, oh, look how cute this person is. They can do all this stuff. They're genius. And then you find out that they're like getting like tortured basically to do these things. So let's
No child athletes. I think that's no child athletes, no child actors.
No child actors. What are we doing with that? Well, I mean,
just you know, kids working.
What about the Dennis the Menace reboot?
My idea is we replace all child actors with Martin Short as Clifford.
That's a fine idea, or we could do CGI too. There's no problem.
The dancing baby from Ally McBeal.
What about the kid from that commercial where he runs in going, "We won! We won! We won!"
Tim, can I mention one more problem with the Olympics that
I've
noticed? That no one's talking about this.
I want to thank my guests too, Jules too. I know you've just been sitting back thinking, "What the hell is going on here? These idiots!" But I want to appreciate you, you being an advocate for this.
Well, there's one major problem with the Olympics that no one's talking about. Okay, you got first place is gold, second place is silver. Third place is bronze, but bronze is the superior medal.
Why?
It's harder. It's a better medal. So they're valuing shininess over the superior. I was just saying they got those backwards.
Save it for your stand-up act, Doug.
No one's talking about it.
And, no one is talking about it for good reason.
No one's talking about the medals.
This will go when Doug flies to Tokyo to do Olympics Village stand-up.
She'll be like, first place with the bronze medal is Michael Phelps.
I feel bad for the guys that got the gold medal but then had it bronzed so they don't ever
see.
Now there's a joke.
Exactly. They get it bronzed because that's the superior medal.
All right. We'll let you go. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having us, and
have a great summer.
Yeah, you too.
I'm not going to watch the Olympics. I don't like that advice you gave that you can watch it. I don't think you should be able to watch it.
I respect that. Well, how about you can watch it, but you can't enjoy it after I tell you the following fact, which is that the Nazis invented the torch relay.
Ooh, there you go. How dare you appreciate something the Nazis created? I'm never going to do
right.
that. Right. Let liberty ring. Thanks, Molly. Thanks, Jules. Take care. Bye.
Look at that rock star.
Great segment. Wow. I could talk about Olympics and sports all day.
Sure you could.
Got a lot of ideas.
Okay.
How old are people? So every event you start young, but what about bobsledding?
Right.
What is that? What Dylan gets into in the winter? Bobsledding. Oh,
it's bobby sledding when you're a kid. You get these little mini ones. Start with a circle.
I get out on the hill. I go down in the snow. I hold on to the rope. I go fast. I'm bobsledding.
Some of those things are so dumb. It's like you're spinning around and throwing a disc through the air.
Turn me on to a zoomer.
That's not a sport.
You guys are rock stars.
There's some like ancient. Shit, that doesn't.
We'll wrap things up here.
Anymore, you know what I mean?
Brianna had a little
throwing a shot put.
What's that thing on the ice?
Can you guys hear me?
And then like they have
yes.
the rush.
Yes,
there.
Hi Brianna.
That's cool.
I know.
Quiet
it's cool.
Now, you. Quiet.
What's that bizarre, called?
Quiet, you.
What is that?
I got Brianna here. She wants to say hi.
I took off my Walt Rostow glasses because I didn't want to be beat up by Tim and I wanted to align with the No Olympics. So I'm just gonna take those off. I can kind of see you.
Oh, no, please put your glasses back on. Everyone takes everything I do literally. Just kidding.
No, but they're also, they're the glasses that were worn by Walt Rostow. You know that guy. He was the security advisor for Johnson from 66 to 69.
Of course.
He was like integral and like, yeah, he's a terrible guy. So mm-hmm. I feel like I look like I'm at, like interviewing to become a bad man.
Yeah, you're going to work for the State Department.
yes. Okay. I have a game.
Cleaning
up the house. Yes. I'm cleaning up the house. I went through some old yearbooks and I was really weirded out by my high school's superlative section. Were any of you awarded a superlative section in high school?
I'm not sure I understand. Or what superlative? That
means. You mean like the best? Like
the best. Oh, the best.
Yeah. Most likely.
Like best yeah. of or like most mm-hmm. likely to. Yeah.
I was not.
No. I was.
Yeah.
You were not.
I was. What was yours?
What was it?
What was the question?
What was you? You were voted most something in high school.
I was voted most likely to succeed in comedy and drama.
That was a category.
There were two categories.
So it was a theatrical.
Yes. Yeah.
Comedy and like a, drama.
Yeah, theatrical.
Did you get both of those, or was
yeah,
that
I got
combined
both individually?
Well,
dang.
I was voted. I was awarded most unique. It's kind of
seriously.
Mean. Yeah. Kind of most. There was somebody else that got the funniest, but I got most unique.
I mean, like, connotation is everything, right? Like, unique could be a good thing. Is it a good thing only for like millennials now versus back in the day when you were
in school?
I mean,
I wore it as a point of pride.
Can I tell you what yeah. mine was?
Yes, Vic.
Mine was most low key fire.
Oh.
Wow.
That's what cool. was yours, Vic?
It was most musical, but also best smile.
Oh. Cutie.
Listen, I have a list. I pulled the list from my high school yearbook. I wanted to ask you some of them, but I think I already know what the answers are. But I was going to say that I didn't want to include Lizzie in this
okay.
like ranking system because it's not fair. She's so cute that she's going to skew the scale and she's going to like sweep the categories.
Interesting.
So
Lizzie, sounds like you're a hit today.
Really?
Apparently, according to Brianna here. Okay, what do you got?
Okay, best eyes of the Trinity. Who has the best eyes? And this is weird because you all have blue eyes, don't you?
Wow, how does she know that?
I haven't heard it. Oh, really?
You're not hearing the guest?
Oh, you're not hearing the guest?
No.
Or do you have headphones
on? That was intentional, so I wouldn't just be like this every 5 seconds.
Oh, my God.
This whole time she hasn't been.
The whole time? I haven't heard any of
the guests.
Are
you a single guest?
Even yeah,
what is going on
intentional?
Here?
Like I'm supposed to be in a sound booth.
You got headphones right there.
Oh. Wait. Oh, you don't have your headphones?
My God.
Jesus Christ. Oh, holy no. shit.
I thought these were ornamental.
Oh my God.
I thought these were decorative.
You haven't heard our drops either?
No.
Oh my.
What a weird show.
You did a great job.
So I'm talking to Steve Conrad. I'm talking to the Olympics people.
I know.
Holy cow.
I thought like we like to keep the guests in that.
Wow.
Wow.
God.
This is wild.
Well, it's going to be someone.
She didn't hear any of that, Brianna. I think we're going to have to save your game for.
Lizzie, put the ones are
well, let's save your game for office for after hours. Okay, that's how we'll kick
okay.
off after hours. Can you stand by for five minutes?
Yeah.
Thank
sure.
you, thank you, everybody. This has been the office hours broadcast.
I heard you the first time.
I do want to say one more thing. If you are on the West Coast, anywhere on the West Coast, forget the Olympics. Come to the Office Hours live show. That is going to be at the Dynasty Typewriter. The late show is sold out. The early show, which begins at 5 o'clock Pacific, will be that. What date is that, Matt? August 24th?
Yes, early show, 5 p.m.
Yes, and that will be broadcast
as
a real show.
Right?
Both will be broadcast, but there are some seats. They're selling very quickly, but the early show, there are a few tickets left. Again, Office Hours East begins tomorrow night. And game night with the real Greg Turkington and the real Simone Turkington with a very special game that he's bringing. And your calls, and that's for patrons only. Patrons only, everybody. Patron continues to grow. We had a successful week, I think, because of Sharpling, correct? I think Tom Sharpling's show really said, you know what? I love this show. I want to support this show. Now's the time. We'll see you guys in 5 minutes. For the After Hours experience, Lizzie Cooperman's sticking around with the earphones in for the first time. And now it's a whole new world.
It's a whole new experience.
Whole new experience for Lizzie. Thank you, everyone. See you in a few.
The pounding. The pounding. The pounding. The pounding. 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 Pounding.
I also want to thank...
every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer, because you guys paid for all this. So seriously, for every Amazon customer out there and every Amazon employee, thank you from the bottom of my heart very much.
Things they would argue. I do not sing what I believe. I only give them fact. If they believe quite otherwise, it still will have impact. Is truth, and if they then decide to live with lies, that's their concern, not mine, my friend. They're free to fantasize.